Pickett's men are extraordinary men, Fremantle said. The Virginians seem different, quite, from the Texans, or the soldiers from Mississippi. Is that true, do you think, sir?
Yes. Have you met Dick Garnett?
Ah, yes. Tall fella. Rather dark. Wounded leg. Odd, that.
Jackson tried to court-martial him for cowardice in the face of the enemy. I've known Garnett for 20 years. No coward. But his honor is gone. You will hear bad things from people who know nothing. I want you to know the truth. Jackson was a hard man.
Fremantle nodded silently.
He also court-martialed A.P. Hill once, and Lee simply overlooked it. Well, come to think of it, I had some trouble with old Powell myself once. He wanted to fight me a duel. Matter of honor. I ignored him. It's an interesting army. Only Lee could hold it together. But the thing about Garnett troubles me. He thinks his honor is gone.
A tragic thing, Fremantle said. There was tact there, a tone of caution.
The papers, of course, all side with Jackson. Longstreet blew out a breath. And Jackson is dead. So now Garnett will have to die bravely to erase the stain.
And he saw that Fremantle agreed. Only thing for a gentleman to do.
Longstreet shook his head.
A weary bitterness fogged his brain. He knew Garnett would die, no help for it now, unturnable, ridiculous, doomed with a festering, unseen wound. Fremantle said, "You are not Virginia-born, sir?"
"South Carolina," Longstreet said.
"Ah, that's in the far south, isn't it, sir?"
"True," Longstreet said. He was weary of talk. "Honor," he said. "Honor without intelligence is a disaster. Honor could lose the war."
Fremantle was vaguely shocked. "Sir?"
"Listen, let me tell you something. I appreciate honor and bravery and courage. Before God. But the point of the war is not to show how brave you are and how you can die in a manly fashion. Face to the enemy. God knows it's easy to die. Anybody can die."
In the darkness, he could not see Fremantle's face. He talked to darkness.
"Let me explain this. Try to see this. When we were all young, they fought in a simple way. They faced each other out in the open, usually across a field. One side came running. The other got one shot in from a close distance, because the rifle wasn't very good at a distance. Because it wasn't a rifle. Then, after that one shot, they hit together hand to hand, or sword to sword, and the cavalry would ride in from one angle or another. That's the truth, isn't it? In the old days, they fought from a distance with bows and arrows and ran at each other, man to man, with swords. But now, listen, now it's quite a bit different. And quite a few people don't seem to know that yet. But we're learning. Look, right now, take a man with a good rifle. A good man with a good rifle, which has a good range and may even be a repeater. He can kill at, conservatively, 200-300 yards, shooting into a crowd attacking him. Forget the cannon. Just put one man behind a tree. You can hardly see him from 200 yards away, but he can see you, and shoot again. How many men do you think it will take to get to that man behind a tree, in a ditch, defended by a cannon, if you have to cross an open field to get him? How many men? Well, I've figured it. At least 3. And he'll kill at least 2. The way you do it is this. One man fires while one man is moving, and the other is loading and getting ready to move. That's how the 3 men attack. There's always one moving and one firing. That way you can do it. If you forget the cannon. But you'll lose one man most probably on the way across the field. At least one. Probably two. Against a cannon, you'll lose all three no matter what you do. And that's across the field. Now, if you are attacking uphill,